Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
What is up, all of my beautiful freaking people? Welcome back to another episode of FML Talk. It is April. It is spring. The spring is springing. And we are in for another solo episode. So sit back, grab a fucking cocktail, and welcome to FML Talk.
Oh my God.
Wait, how old was the other girl?
19. Can you believe that shit?
Hey, this is Gabrielle Stone.
Good book.
He did what?
48 hours?
What a dick.
Yeah, but have you seen all the photos on our Instagram?
And this is FML Talk.
Oh, no, she didn't.
You guys, I am sitting in my office. I have one little black dog under my arm, currently being my cushion, and one really large white dog sprawled out on the floor. This is the only way there will be no dog barking in the background, as if they are in here with me being a part of everything. So it's a full house today. How's everyone doing? It's spring. My backyard is in full bloom. It's lovely outside here in La La Land in LA. And speaking of La La Land, we're going to kind of get a little dark on this episode today. Why, Gabrielle? Because I just watched the 4-part documentary on HBO Max of Quiet on Set. If you guys have not seen this documentary, I highly recommend you go and watch it, with the trigger warning that there is a lot of dealings with child abuse, sexual abuse, lots of different kinds of abuse. But it is shocking, and I think it's really well done, and it's really telling about problems that are very clearly in the industry. I mean, Tay and I sat and watched it, and his mouth and my mouth were just like hanging open. Obviously, you know, we're both in the industry in different capacities. Tay also coaches kids, so it was a whole different level of shock for him to watch. He also, you know, has an 11-year-old daughter, and it was a lot. That being said, I felt like, how do I word this? I felt a responsibility to speak on a certain aspect of what was in this documentary, or I guess more clearly, what was not in this documentary. Obviously, I've grown up around the industry with my mom and watching her in it from a very, very young age. I then entered into the industry, luckily and thankful to my mother, when I was older. I didn't do my first film until I was 18, and have worked on and off as an actor since then, a lot less since I switched to author and started doing more behind the scenes directing, producing stuff. That being said, I luckily never experienced any of the dark side of the industry in that way. You know, when the Me Too movement happened there, I mean, everyone that's been in the industry has some type of story, I feel like, from an abusive power standpoint. I have had brushes with them, but have been lucky to avoid any of the really dark, bad shit that goes on. Oh, where to start? So I sat down to watch this documentary, and I found it interesting that they went into, I'm sure part of it was because of like who was going to come forward, who was going to talk about it, who agreed to an interview. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. But I took notice to the fact that they focused a lot on the Nickelodeon show, All That, that was, I mean, I watched it. Y'all watched it. Like, that was like the 90s kids Saturday Night Live. And I found it interesting that although they focused on it quite a bit, the only people that they really interviewed or went into detail about were from later seasons of that show, apart from Amanda Bynes, which was briefly on it and then had a spinoff of her own show. And like that whole story, I think the documentary just scraped the tip of the iceberg as to what like actually happened with her. You guys can go down a fucking rabbit hole on TikTok of the secret Twitter that she had when she was like in the conservatorship and like the claims that she made about what her boss, this like piece of shit, Dan Schneider, who created all these Nickelodeon shows, has done to her. Claims which I believe, and I believe many people do after this documentary has come out. But apart from Amanda, the OG kind of earlier year cast was just kind of like briefly mentioned. It was like, oh, Keenan went on to be super successful. Kel went on to be super successful. Like there wasn't like any stories or mentions of kind of like the original group that started on that show. Why are you bringing this up, Gabrielle? Well, as I tiptoe around this, we recently did an episode with Carly Craig, brought her back because we love her and she's thriving now. And if you remember her initial two-part episode that she did, that she came forward to tell her story for the first time. And looking back on those episodes, it's crazy because it like doesn't even seem like the Carly I know now. Like she was such a shell of herself during that time dealing with her PTSD and her panic attacks and her stress and her anxiety. Like all of it was so intense during that time. And I remember she showed up to do this interview and was so nervous and so scared to say the wrong thing, to, you know, say too much, to really like put her story out there, which, I mean, you guys know from me writing my books, I believe that anyone that's been through some shit has every right to do because you own everything that has happened to you. And if people want to be written about and talked about in a better light, they should have fucking behaved better, period. And I feel like this about a lot of people that come on, you know, we briefly touched on this on Morgan's episode that when she first came on to tell that story, she was still kind of in that cycle of control from her ex. And I very much so feel like that's how Carly was too back then during that time. I'm bringing this up because the person that I was close with that was in Carly's life that is talked about in that episode, I mean, it was a Nickelodeon kid. And it really made me stop and think while watching this documentary, because so many of the things that are discussed in it are horrific and horrible and awful to think about. And there is so much responsibility across the board that needs to be taken, like the parents for not protecting these kids and like being more diligent about what was going on and like being smart and seeing things for what it was. The executives and like the people that were on the set that had fucked up moral compasses that should have been like following rules and being more aware and doing background checks and making sure these kids were kept safe. And the executives at the fucking top of the totem pole who should have been creating a safe work environment and like overseeing all of this more. And like some of the shit that came out in those years is wild that nobody raised an eyebrow and that they just got away with doing that.
Summer is here and life is not slowing down for us anytime soon. One of the things we have continuously relied on making our lives so much easier is Factor meals. No prep, no mess, no cleanup meals. I have really been off the wagon with my eating since having my son, and for my health, my wellness, and my mental sanity, I have been switching my dinners to more healthy options from Factor. They have 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so I never get bored. And Tay is continuously shocked every time he sits down to eat one because they are so freaking tasty. They have breakfast, lunches, dinners, and desserts. It's a treat to have restaurant quality food that is so easy to prepare and doesn't come with the insane Postmates bill. Head to factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 and use code FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code FMLTalk50 at factormeals.com/FMLTalk50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Enjoy, FMLers.
The videos of Ariana Grande on there, like, legitimately look like porn. And she is a child in these videos. It's wild to me. So we're watching all this, and Tay and I are obviously having a conversation because we've known people in that world, and everything that happened with Carly was very calculated and very intentional. So it begs the question, and this is what I want to kind of like, the reason why I'm bringing all this up on this episode is because I think this is not talked about enough. It begs the question, when someone goes through, and I'm not saying that everyone on that set did, but when someone goes through something traumatic in any capacity, how much does that then excuse them for continuing that cycle with someone else or continuing to then inflict trauma on someone else? I consider the trauma that I went through growing up pretty significant. It's not like a little T trauma to walk in and find your dad like lying dead on the floor when you're 6 years old. I don't walk around traumatizing people and fucking their lives up because of that. So it's, to me, and we talked about this on those episodes with Carly, like, your trauma is not an excuse to then hurt other people. It is your responsibility for whatever you've been through in this life. However, you know, I don't think you should compare traumas, but however you feel your trauma lands on the scale from like bad to awful to fucking horrific, it is your job to go heal and fix that trauma so that it then does not become someone else's trauma. And I so often think that people use their traumatic experiences or shit that they've been through as an excuse to make themselves feel better for some fucked up shit that they then went on to do as an adult. It's like, that doesn't excuse you being a shit human. That doesn't excuse you as an adult making like very calculated fucked up choices to then ruin somebody else's life for a period of time or give them a fucking massive trauma that they then have to go heal. It goes back to that quote of like, if people would go to therapy in the first place, maybe it would save so many of us from going to therapy for the shit that the people that should have been in therapy in the first place inflicted upon us. And so the conversation that I think needs to be had more often is the cycle of abuse. And sometimes it's in the same category, like people that experience sexual abuse at a young age go on to sexually abuse. Sometimes it's completely different. Like people that experience something at a young age go on to abuse in different types of ways and capacities. But that cycle, like, what are we doing to break that cycle? What are we doing to make sure people that have gone through traumatic experiences at young ages who should have been protected by parents, by authority figures, by whoever, are getting the help that they need so that they don't then go make choices to traumatize people in the future and pass that trauma on to others? And that is something I wish that documentary would have gone into that a little more deeply. because it did a really good job at exposing a lot of the stuff and like shining a light on all this bad shit, but it didn't really give any hope or educational ideas as to how we can help people who have gone through experiences like that to heal and make different decisions moving forward. So I finished the documentary. I texted Carly and I was like, dude, have you watched this yet? And she was like, I've only watched the first episode and it's fucking horrific. But it was so interesting to me. Let me circle all the way back to how I started this. It was really interesting to me that the initial group that was on that network wasn't interviewed, wasn't talked about. And unfortunately, it's hard to go on and tell a story that you might be very deserving to tell, to heal, when you have gone on to hurt other people in a large way. And it made me really like stop and think about how many predators and how many scary individuals with ill intent have gone out into this world because of fucked up shit that's happened to them when they were younger and nobody stepped in to like help or point stuff out. It was a tough watch. I urge you guys to go check out the documentary. Again, it's on Max. It really makes you feel for some of the shit that Child Star have gone through, and to look back on like huge kind of moments that we all remember vividly watching happen in real time, like Amanda Bynes going to court in like these different crazy colored wigs, and obviously like Britney shaving her head, and these Jamie Lynn getting pregnant, like all of these things that seemed like so crazy that the public was like so quick to like pass judgment on, and the media like turned into a fucking frenzy instead of realizing like how bad it was for them as kids and like how that impacted their mental health. So there was that side of it in the documentary that I was hit with, and like the sympathy and the shock of it all. And then there was the other side from seeing certain things like the curtain pulled back, that it was like, yes, that might be a reason or explanation that A, B, or C happened, but that does not excuse the behavior. One does not cancel out the other. Like, you still need to take responsibility for what you are inflicting on other people. And be the person that stops that cycle of abuse, and abuse as like an umbrella, okay? Even if it's not in the same vein or in the same category, like the umbrella of it, the fact that it's still going from one pain point to causing somebody else a pain point, that is a conversation and a dialogue that I think needs to be happening a lot more. So anyways, I just wanted to get that off my chest. I hope they end up doing a second part documentary on this. Everybody online is like freaking out saying like Disney needs to be next. I can't imagine how ironclad that Disney NDA is. I'd be shocked if people came forward. I hope more people do to speak about this. And shout out to Jeanette McCurdy, because I think all of this is really happening because she decided to turn down the hush money that Nickelodeon offered her and put all this shit in her book, which is a really great read, by the way. I'm glad my mom died. I'm sure many of you have read it. I think that was the first kind of thing that came out that made people feel a lot more comfortable coming forward. Anyways, join me on going down the TikTok rabbit hole that I've been on with this particular topic. It's crazy. And a lot of astrologers have said that 2024 is going to be the year where like the curtain gets pulled back and the shit gets uncovered and unearthed, and like it's like the year of clarity. And I think this is a piece of that giant kind of puzzle that's going to be coming together this year. We are also entering into eclipse season.
Yay!
And everything that I keep seeing and reading is how intense it's going to be for Aries and Libra placements, of which ya girl has both. So I don't know, send prayers, y'all. Eclipse season is always known for ripping things away, giving you what you want, not necessarily what you need. But I have a feeling that this year is going to be very big in a lot of different wonderful ways. So I'm just kind of like strapping myself into the roller coaster, putting my fucking arms up, letting out a big woohoo, and gonna enjoy the ride no matter how it presents itself. I hope you all do the same. Okay, we are going to take a turn now and jump into one of your FML stories. Here we go. So as you guys know, I don't look at these beforehand. I just write the names down as they come in order, and then I go search that name in the email that they come to, and that's the one I read on the next episode. I did open this and it said trigger warning, so read before you do on air. And of course, this trigger warning is for sexual misconduct. I swear to God, I do not plan these ahead of time. They just always seem to fall perfectly in line for either the episode vibe that we're doing or what people need to hear at that particular time. So, trigger warning, here we go. Dear Gabrielle, I was married for 26 and a half years. I was committed and was going to pray my way through our problems. I met my ex through my friend, her brother-in-law, at 23. Keep in mind, I dated a lot of nice guys. My ex definitely love-bombed me, writing me a letter after 8 weeks together saying he loved me and wanted to marry me. Throughout the letter, he said I had to trust him. With completing my degree and him being in the military, we didn't have a real courtship and many dates. Yes, there were red flags. I ignored them, being he was my knight and shining armor. He was everything I wasn't, strong and confident. I thought for sure he was going to be my rock. He wrote his wedding speech hours before we got married, not important to put time and effort into it, and did not mention his love for me in any way. Right after our honeymoon, he started to stay out late. We argued a lot, and I put it towards the first year of marriage. My friend, now my sister-in-law, reminded me it wasn't supposed to be like that. Through our marriage, he went out late and came home late. He put it to me that he didn't do sports, only worked and his work in the military, and a firefighter, he needed space to deal with all the stress. When I was pregnant with our third child, there were allegations of sexual misconduct. I stood by him with a newborn in tow. The woman had no evidence and he was let back into the military and promoted. It was his word against theirs, and I believed him that the woman had it in for him. He picked on my oldest daughter a great deal, and I believed him that she was disrespectful to him. She was on to him. Her gut told her he was up to no good. I was ambushed by my sister-in-laws, one being the friend that introduced us, one night while his brothers ambushed him at work. I was told my ex sexually assaulted a family member. While I was being told the story, his brothers were telling him they knew and to stay away from the family and never come around. We were ambushed at the same time, coordinated, so he could not get to me and explain himself away. No charges were laid, as the individual did not want to go to court. I asked him to move out that night. What followed? A great deal of money toward lawyers, lots of counseling. My children and I are putting our lives back together and finding me. Women coming forward with many stories of his inappropriate behavior and his come-ons, and a black book found by me with an escort phone number. He has had no contact with his family or our children. His family has embraced me and my children, supporting us the whole way. I've had to mend my relationship with my children, especially my oldest, because I believed him. I am certain he is a psychopath or a sociopath that led a double life, narcissist at the very least, and a predator.
My children are following their dreams, and I am finding myself and working towards being okay and at peace. Sincerely, Canadian follower.
Woo! Girl.
I am so sorry that you went through that, that you experienced that. I know from other followers of mine that are in the military how much misconduct goes unpunished. And I'm sorry that you experienced that. I am so glad to hear that you are healing for yourself and that your kids are healing and that his family supported you every step of the way. That's really amazing. And I'm happy to hear it. It never ceases to amaze me how in line the FML stories are with the topic that I like randomly choose to talk about on these solo episodes. If you guys want to submit an FML story, you write out your story as you hear them read on the show. It can be about anything. It doesn't have to be relationship focused. It can be funny. It can be dramatic. It can be whatever your big FML story is. You write it out, try and keep it to a page so it's not like too crazy long. Think of it as like a bullet point, like highlight reel of the story, and you email it to info@eatprayfml.com, and it will go into the lineup and I will read it on one of the solo episodes coming up. I love to be able to include you guys in these episodes and to read some of your stories, give you a little bit of peace. And I know everybody that's listening often relates to different parts of them. So thank you guys for continuing to send them in. Friendly reminder that we are currently in season 12 of the mini bonus episodes on Patreon. And this, dare I say, is one of my favorite seasons. I can't tell you who is on it for the duration of the season, but if there was ever a time to join, find out what's going on in my life that I can't fully talk about publicly yet, it's now. It's on this season. You'll be there really from the beginning of it all. And this season is really fucking cool and a lot of fun. Apart from all 12 seasons that you can binge whenever you want of some really great fucking seasons. Some are funny and hilarious and you'll laugh your ass off. Some are like free therapy with some really great guests. Apart from all of that, you also get 10% off any of the merch on the website, and you get added to my close friend story on Instagram, where there's a ton of shit that I can't share publicly, and private Q&As, and a bunch of fun stuff, and access to the Self-Love Facebook group, and a weekly blog post that goes out. It's a lot of shit. You get a lot of shit for being a Patreon member, and it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of perks. So come hang out with us. You can go to patreon.com/FMLtalk. Also, if you guys are tuning into this show weekly and are enjoying it and are getting stuff out of it, please do me a solid and go to either Apple Podcasts and drop a review or hit a star rating review on Spotify. It really helps me continue to show up for you, do this show, and party every Wednesday. I appreciate you guys. I love you so much, FMLers. I will see you all next week. All right, FMLers, if you don't want to miss an episode, make sure to follow on your favorite podcast app. And if you're loving the show, drop us a 5-star rating and leave a review. You can keep up with me on Instagram @GabrielleStone or the podcast page @FMLTalkPodcast. For all the merch and books signed personally by me, you can shop the FML line on eatprayfml.com. And as always, have a fucking self-love cocktail on me. Cheers.
Welcome to As a Woman, Fertility Hormones and Beyond. I'm your host, Dr. Natalie Crawford, and I am a fertility physician and co-founder of Fora Fertility in Austin, Texas. We will talk about a wide range of topics, including the menstrual cycle, your hormones, infertility, IVF, mental health, and, well, beyond. So join us and become part of the community of collaboration that amplifies others as a woman.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.